LaRue International Woman of Leisure at 16 minutes to 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and it's a very warm welcome to the leader of the official opposition, the Democratic Alliance, John Steenhuisen, who's just joined us on the morning show. Good morning, John. Nice to be chatting to you.
To be with all the listeners up there in Belita.
Wow. It's not often we get a chance to chat these days. Obviously, extremely busy, and with the State of the Nation address having caused all sorts of, renewed interest in the state of where we find ourselves in South Africa at this time and in this place. No doubt you have been pretty vocal on the subject, and I would love to get a kind of snapshot of how you think the State of the Nation address went down and where we still need to, as a nation, be concentrating.
Well, Dave, I thought that the President's initial address, certainly as it came down to the economy, was absolutely spot on, and there it was for the very first time someone within the governing party, a party that has been completely state-centric, all power to the state, state-owned entity monopolies and key levers of the economy, admitting the mantra that the DA and other parties have been saying for many, many years, that it's not government that creates jobs, it's the private sector that creates jobs, and government's job is to create the enabling environment for that to happen. And I think that was met with much excitement, and I think the markets reacted very, very well to that. And I was very praiseful of the President's boldness there. Sadly, over the course of the debate of the last week, it has been rowed back on quite significantly, culminating in the President's clear-as-mud black flip yesterday, trying to explain away, you know, that it's going to be state-led private sector growth, which is an anomaly in itself. It's very clear that he got a smackdown from within his own party around that very, very bold initiative, which is a shame. But the reality is, Dave, and it's a point I've been making in the speech and all week, that whatever the President announced all comes down to implementation. And implementation is managed and overseen by the Cabinet and the ministers. And it is my view and the view of my party that there is a Cabinet that is too big. It's filled with inept, corrupt, lazy, useless individuals who are responsible for much of the suffering and unpleasantness that many South Africans feel in their daily life, whether it's the long waits at the driver's licenses, ID documents, birth certificates, the treatment at SASSA, pay points, unemployment. All of these things are overseen by the Cabinet. And it's our view that the President, no matter what his noble intentions may be, is saddled with a bunch of people who are never going to get the delivery done. And that's one of the reasons we tabled a motion of no confidence in the Cabinet, not the President, the Cabinet, because we believe we must have this conversation now of the country about who we hold accountable.
Absolutely. But John, do these motions of no confidence ever get anywhere? Because I think as a nation, we're kind of punch drunk now from revelations, shocking revelations of maladministration, corruption, nepotism, et cetera, et cetera. But there doesn't ever seem to be any kind of catharsis to this continual malaise. I'm as desperate as the next man to find out. How do we get action instead of talk?
Well, look, the motion of confidence gives Mr. Zuma and the likelihood that it would succeed was a tipping point for him resigning, if you may recall. I think it is important that we have this discussion in Parliament, the arena of executive accountability, about what on earth the Cabinet's doing. And the point you make precisely this. If one looks at what's happening in the UK, for instance, huge pressure on the Prime Minister and others because they had parties during lockdown. The entire Dutch government resigned over a grant scandal. And here we have ministers implicated in the Zondo Commission report, implicated in the high-level panel report into the July unrest, which showed that the Cabinet is responsible and accountable, that are still sitting in their jobs. It's unfathomable. And so I think we've got to have this discussion, and Parliament is the only arena it can happen. It's clear the President's not going to move against these individuals. So we need to make the case about why they should not be in those positions and give Parliament an opportunity to express itself on whether they should stay or whether they should go. But certainly...
I think the answer to that is that they will express a very firm and solid decision to stay, because that's the business-as-usual approach. But beyond that, is there no mechanism, legal mechanism, to force those that are not performing to actually step down and vacate?
No, there's not. It's not like in a position for instance, when we challenged the appointment of Menzi Simelane or Shlaudi Motsoeneng into senior government positions, because there you can make the test for a fit and proper appointment. Mm. There's no such legal test for a political appointee. And the only thing that's going to be able to get them out is a concerted campaign by the South African people to express their displeasure in the way in which these departments are being run by these ministers, and to send that message to the
and,
president.
And what would that look like? Because at one stage there was talk of a general tax boycott by one particular well-known politician that didn't go down very well almost at any quarter. Why is that?
Well, I think that people are very worried about, you know, the state collapsing under that weight. You know, what you know, state's income declines and it's unable to meet its bills. I think it could have far deeper and more catastrophic consequences for the country. But I do think that people and civil society and organized business and organized labor need to make their voices heard on this matter. We can't just simply carry on muddling along as we are, because the trajectory is a downward one and it's heading very quickly towards a failed state.
So would you call for sort of rolling mass action, in other words?
Yes, of course. And I think that people should be protesting around the camp. I think it is incomprehensible that in the modern world, people have to queue from 2 in the morning to access an identity document that frankly should be available in a better format and in a far easier way. I think it's crazy that there's an almost 2-year delay now in issuing of driver's licenses. I think it's completely unfair that elderly and the sick are made to stand in blazing sun or pouring rain to get a social grant. These are things that we should be doing better, and we're not. And I think the people should now push back against this nonsense. And these individuals who earn a huge amount of money, who sit in the cossets of fancy offices and fancy bulletproof vehicles surrounded by phalanx of bodyguards, but do nothing to serve the people that they're supposed to be serving.
Now, John, as the opposition goes, obviously now we're having this conversation as we are, leadership is what is required, because the average South African, I think, is pretty much now disempowered to the point of, well, let's just throw up our hands and see where the ball bounces. Is there any plan for the official opposition, or indeed other opposition parties, to start fomenting, shall we say, rolling mass action, encouraging it, leading it, developing it?
Yes, there is, and it's going to be rolled out as we head towards the debate on this particular matter. But there's a far bigger way to do that, and a far more effective way to do that, and that's to take power away from the corrupt and the inept, as we've done in places like Johannesburg, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, Cape Town, many other places where you remove people who don't perform out of office. And that, for me, is a far stronger and bigger message, which is why the next 2 years for us is focused on demonstrating that the ANC can be beaten, demonstrating that there can be alternative governments that can deliver, and giving people the confidence that they can vote the ANC out of office and replace it with a system that's going to actually start delivering for them. Mm-hmm. So that's our focus for next year. Nothing's going to change unless they bring the ANC below 50% and they lose their majority and are then forced to work with other parties, or are replaced by a group of parties that have the country's best interests at heart. And I think that's where the real change and reform is going to come in South Africa. I fear that the ANC retain a majority, we're just going to muddle along.
Well, it would appear that the winds of change have begun to blow. The local elections showed a decisive move in that direction. But I think what is required now is substantial in ramping up of action. As you say, the civic society has a massive role to play. But I believe leadership is what is required right now. Your leadership has been exemplary, but we need, I think, to step it up a mark.
No, absolutely. And you will see, we've just finished the debates now this week. There's going to be a concerted public campaign to highlight these issues and get people out speaking about them, debating them, getting in, you know, outside ministries where there's failure, calling for ministers to go, putting pressure on the president to sack the corrupt and inept in his cabinet. It really is time for something to be done. We cannot continue with one of the largest cabinets in the world with one of the worst outputs.
Indeed, and there, I know you have to dash, and the time is always against us, but thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Show, and we look forward to continuing the discourse, because it would appear that this is a robust discussion that needs to be heard, and action that needs to be taken to make sure that we together, collectively, rescue our beloved country from the grips of this terrible malaise.
Absolutely, and I would point to the example when people took to the streets against in the Zuma Must Fall days. That's exactly the type of energy we need around this particular campaign to get the right people around the table. When you're losing a war, you've got to change the generals. We've got the wrong generals sitting around the table at cabinet. We need to change that.
And there we leave it for today. John, thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Show.
Thank you, Dave. Always a great pleasure.
Leader of the official opposition, the Democratic Alliance, John Steenhuisen. You heard him on Radio Life and Style. Here's Elvis Blue.